You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
In a world filled with chaos and confusion, in an echo chamber filled with lies and deception, comes a ray of light. Live from Madison, Wisconsin, it's John and Gordy in the morning on 92.7 WMDX.
Oh, God.
Good morning.
Wake me from this nightmare.
Oh, you're awake.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
It is a beautiful day in Wisconsin. It's going to be fantastic for the next couple of days, from what I understand, right? It's going to be nice.
Sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, boy, it's windy. Of course, you know, it's been very windy out there.
A little breezy, yeah.
Pulling all those leaves off the trees and creating havoc in my yard. But that's fine. They can lay there for as long as it takes to dry those leaves out and for me to mow them.
Well, we have frost and freeze warnings out this morning and tomorrow morning.
What was the low temperature? What is it? Was it currently? 38 degrees, right?
Well, I have 37 over here.
Okay, but, 37, you know,
there's a degree of difference between where you're sitting, where I'm sitting, apparently. High today, about 50.
Yeah.
And we should see plenty of sunshine, but it's cold this morning. Winds have died down for the time being.
Oh, it has.
But they might kick in a little later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, if you have tender vegetation, you know, John, and I know you have a lot of tender vegetation. Oh, you know,
I raise them to be very tender.
Yeah, yeah. And you need to take care of those tonight, especially, because tomorrow morning is going to be really cold. They're talking about a freeze warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been talking about that for a long time. We don't normally get it down here in southern Wisconsin, so
no, but southwest Wisconsin, where they have all the valleys,
pretty, the low-lying areas,
shouldn't lie down in those areas. Just stay out of them.
I'm trained to say low-lying areas.
I know,
but you know, it's always colder in the low-lying areas.
It is,
and we used to have temperature readings.
Yeah.
To our radio station from these low-lying areas. That's right. Why I know about it. And it was always super cold, and everybody wakes up in the morning thinking, well, it doesn't feel that cold. What are they talking about?
Right. Yeah. Same thing with airport temperatures. It's you know, those are always a little colder because usually it's just an open area and, you know, not a lot of trees around. And so for whatever reason, it's a little bit chillier in those airport temperatures. But, you know, who lives at the airport? Who cares what the temperature is at the airport? I guess the pilots do, but other than that, you know, who cares?
And I know that wind doesn't have anything to do with the temperature reading, right?
Right.
But right.
But
you
the
know
wind
what?
Chill.
I have a sneaky feeling it does, and no one wants to admit it. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
I mean, it's got to cool off the air somewhat, and the air, of course, then is, you know.
Well, that makes sense.
Affecting the temperature gauges. I don't know. I've never been able to figure out. That's why I think it's all magic and just made up.
Well, I think a lot of it is.
Being a former weatherman.
Right.
That's
you know, I watch Charlie Shortino every morning. And I think about two-thirds of what he says is made up. You just make it, just tap dancing.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, all I need is like a magician's outfit. With a black hat,
wizard of weather,
upside down on a table, and he just pulls out a weather forecast.
It's about like that. All right. Well, a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Tim Slecker in about a half hour or less and see what's going on in the education world. And then in our next hour, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney at law, will be with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still demolishing the White House, still knocking down walls and tearing things apart.
There's not going to be a left wing anymore.
East wing.
East wing, rather.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any. They're just taking it all down.
Well, traditionally, that's been kind of the area that the First Lady has her office. Yeah. But there's been no comment from Melania Trump so far about the demolition of her side of the building. So we're all waiting for the, I have a
cut on that.
Do you?
Yeah. All I have right, a, we'll a Daily that. Show clip oh. Of that.
Oh.
And it's fun. It's yeah. really fun.
Yeah.
and they asked that question, you know, what happened? Well, what happened to Melania? We haven't seen her since.
Right. Oh, I don't know. That's a mystery.
Somebody didn't tell her.
You know, they and overnight, or just in the last 24 hours, they upped the projected cost of the ballroom. Trump wants to make it even bigger now. Yeah. So it went from $200 million to $300 million, just like that. You know, just throw another $100 million in there.
Will the billionaires donate all that money? Will
sure,
they?
Sure. Well,
you know, this is going to be a huge expense in the taxpayers. I mean, there's, you know, there is no avoiding the fact that the taxpayers are going to have to pick up some of this bill, right. obviously. Yeah. You know, it's just going to happen. The thing here is, I think you read this yesterday, but there's antiquities committee of some sort, right?
Oh, yeah, the commission.
The commission that takes care of the White House and makes sure that it's, you know, upkeep right. and all that other stuff.
Right.
But anyway, they never, you read, I think, that they never consulted that. They right. didn't consult anybody.
They didn't have to because they had fired all those people.
Yes, that's
so
right.
There
that's
was
what,
no,
that's what you,
nobody's left that's what in that office, read.
Yes.
basically.
Yes.
You know, one or two people there, maybe.
And some news reporters are saying, no, they went and talked to them. No, they didn't. It wasn't there for them to talk to. So, you know, it's kind of a big surprise. So anytime you tear down a wall in an old building, you're going to find surprises, lots of surprises, and things you can't work with the current building codes. And I think that's what happened here. They found out they just can't do a lot of certain things, and then they realized they'd have to take down the whole
whole East Wing.
The whole East Wing.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, all of a sudden it's just a big surprise. I think they should just not put up an East Wing and just build a big ballroom there.
You do?
Don't replace it. Just put the ballroom there and then it'll sit vacant when other presidents occupy the White House because no one's going to know what to do with it.
Well, yeah. I don't know. They'll probably, open it up as an entertainment center, perhaps. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they
miniature golf.
Well, they were talking about the biggest room before this started happening was the East Room of the White House, and that could hold about 200 people max.
Yeah.
And this new ballroom is going to hold up to 9, you know, up to 900. And, no, not 9,000. 900. 999 people, they said. Not 1,000 people.
He couldn't possibly have that many friends. Not anymore. Not anymore.
We'll keep track of it, you know, as we should.
Well, you know, they put tariffs and some restrictions on Russia.
Oh yeah.
And they've gone after the oil companies that churn out gasoline, so now gasoline prices are going up.
Oh boy.
Across all over the world.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was only the high point. You know, oh, well, the gas prices are lower now. Yes, yeah. They're below $3. Of course, you know, they've been under $3 for the last year and a half.
Right.
I hate to tell anybody. You know, if you're in a state where they charge you more for gasoline, that's your tough luck. But here, it's been about $2.80, $2.70
a
gallon for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think so.
But now, that's the big news. Oh, it's down to $2.70. Well, it's been there for 2.5 years, you dumbass. You know, these people that, I'm surprised by how high prices are going. You know, they believe the administration or at least Trump before he became president.
Yeah.
And prices went down a little bit only because of pressures and competition, because the supply chains were at normal levels.
Well, the government's still shut down. I think this is day 22 or 23, something like that. It's... No signs of any movement on either side to resolve that. So it's kind of a bad look to be tearing down the White House, spending money to build new ballrooms and everything else. Now they're saying SNAP programs, the food assistance, is not going to get to people this month, next month. Yeah. So welcome to the government shutdown. Things are slowing down.
You know, it's hardly the government shutdown. They have already cut these programs.
Right.
They've already stopped the funding. So I don't think it's the shutdown that caused that. They just, took the food away from people.
No, but I mean,
they're using food as a weapon at this point.
Right. But all these things seem to be happening at once.
All
they
at
may
once.
Or may not be connected, but now they're just becoming connected because
piling on.
Yes.
Yeah. While Trump wants to sit in his room of gold.
How much gold can they cram into the Oval Office anyway?
Oh, God.
I mean, they're running out of space.
Oh, my.
The walls are closing
I have a feeling that ballroom is going to be made out of complete gold, too. I'm not going to be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
But that he thinks he can do anything. You know, you can go down to Fort Knox and just take some gold from there.
Remember, when they came in, they wanted to check and see how much gold is there. Remember that?
Right.
Well, my guess is that they picked up a few bars on the way out.
Who's going to stop them? it's out of control.
It is. I mean, just the look is not a good one, especially when you're taking food and health care away from everybody in the country, and you're sitting in a room filled with gold.
Well, now, and again, another ship blowed up real good out there in the Pacific? Just keep randomly blowing up these
in international waters. We shouldn't be doing this. This is against international law.
Yeah.
But of course, as we were talking about this, he's the king of the world at this point.
Right.
He really
That's
wants
what
to be
he
king
really
of the
wants.
World.
Yes.
He can do anything, any place.
He wants to be the most powerful man on planet Earth.
Yes. Has buildings, special interests all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, who's going to stop him?
It's such a huge grift. God.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all a part of our world. Hey, rise and shine. Shake a leg up and at them. Top of the morning to you. Round it goes.
You know, they blew up that submergible boat, right? It's not exactly a submarine, but it does travel underwater a little bit.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Under the surface. And they blew it up, and two people survived, oddly, from that one.
Really?
And then they, sent those people back to their home country. But why wouldn't we want to talk to them? Why wouldn't we want to have them make a statement of some sort, right?
Right.
And find out if they were truly, really carting drugs around.
We don't know any of that. They like showing the video of the boats blowing up, though.
Oh, boy. Yeah, in detail. Yeah.
It blowed up real good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, whoever thought we'd use Second City TVs? They blow it up real good. Who was that that said that?
Doug and Bob McKenzie.
Was it Doug and Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got that?
I don't think that's Bob and Doug.
Wasn't it? I think so, yeah.
No, it's not Bob and Doug.
Was
that John Candy? That was John Candy.
John Candy and Joe Flaherty.
Yeah.
Right?
Then they're not Bob and Doug.
Did I grab the wrong one? Okay.
No, that's fine. That's what they used to do. Those two guys.
Okay.
Yeah, they had their blow it up real good show.
Okay. 19 past the hour.
All right.
Just getting going on this Thursday morning. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young, along with our producer, Dominic Lee, coming right back. Stay right here.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I love that little trending. WMDX 92.7. It's all trending right here on the program. We have down at the controls. It's been a busy morning so far because we've got a lot of stories floating into the show.
Yes, we do.
We've got Tim Slecker coming up from Busted Pencils. We'll talk education, and we'll be talking about special needs funding, testing funding. The schools are struggling at this point, and we'll also, I think, maybe touch on the cell phone ban. That a lot of school systems have put in place.
Right.
There was a study just recently done on that in Florida, and we'll see if Tim has any information on that. Okay. But
it is 6:23. It's chilly this morning. 37 degrees. Might be some frost out there. So, you know, get up early, check your windshield, scrape off some of that frost if it's on there. You don't want to be. You want to be able to see out the window. There.
You want to do that. Yeah.
And a high today, about 50 degrees. Hey, let's go to the phones. We have Matt on the line from Middleton this morning. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
Morning, guys. I have a hot stock pick for everybody. Rust-Oleum gold spray paint. Everybody purchase that because you're going to need a hell of a lot of it for that ballroom. And all those like Home Depot toily pattern things that are made of plastic. It's going to be all over the place.
That would be the stock buy right there, Rust-Oleum's. Their gold is the best looking color gold, I think. It passes the Trump test.
Yes. That's a good stock pick there, Matt.
That's a good
crazy.
One.
Okay.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for that.
Matt,
I think we can become rich at this point and build our own ballrooms.
Right. That number to call is 608-879-8255. Of course, you can always text us on the Civic Media app. Just go to WMDX and hit the text button or send us a voice note.
Well, one thing that's one thing that's trending, and it's not good news, is that there is worry now in the marketplace that Americans can't afford their cars anymore.
Right, yeah.
You don't want that to happen. Wall Street is a little shaken by this possibility.
People are not making their car payments.
They're not making their car payments.
They're pushing them off.
Interest rates are higher now, and people just can't afford it. And, of course, they got rid of the rebates, so your cars are going to be $5,000 to $4,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 more than they could have been.
It's not good.
I keep thinking about the manufacturing drugs in this country. You know, they're trying to get those manufacturers to go from Europe to here.
Yeah, the pharmaceuticals.
And and I was thinking, well, if they make it in this country, that doesn't mean the prices are going to be lower. They're just making it here, and it's going to create, you know, a few jobs, 1,000 jobs. Great. Mm-hmm. One time, great 1,000 jobs. But the prices aren't going to change if we manufacture them. You got to really think about what his policies are all about. The golden boy, he is not on top of this. You got to look at, extrapolate, and just go out into the future. Think about the big picture. Is it going to lower prices? Hell no. Probably raise prices.
Yeah.
Of course, he's raising prices in Europe because they're paying too low a price for drugs. And that's part of the negotiations he has with the EU, and that is that they have to start raising prices on the drugs there, which will then someday bring down the prices in the U.S., which, by the way, hasn't happened. They went up in Europe, but they didn't come down in the U.S. I'm not surprised. I am not surprised by that.
Well, another thing is Amazon is hoping to replace 600,000 U.S. workers with robots.
Yes, robots.
That news is out there.
Right.
600,000 workers.
The big promise was to create all these jobs. And that's not happening.
Jobs
because
for robots.
The billionaires. Yeah.
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 Sure.
So this is where, you know, the robots coalesce.
Yeah,
they get together. They organize.
Over. They're going to have a union.
Yes.
They're going to take over.
Now, you're screwed. You'll have to skip the country now. Fugitive, eh? You'll be hunted down.
Mm. Yes.
That's right.
Now, the thing is, in Terminator, I don't think they mentioned Amazon as being the originator of the Terminators.
No. They didn't.
The robot armies that took over the globe.
Wasn't in the script.
Yeah.
Well,
but maybe you can always hang out in Costco City.
That's where you're going.
That's where I'm going to stay.
Got everything you need right there.
Now, everybody really should check out. I think I said it was on Prime. I believe that.
What? What movie?
What are you talking about? Our big feature. Why am I spacing this?
Idiocracy?
Idiocracy. I believe that's on Netflix. I'm trying to remember the Netflix thing, but okay. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So you can always check it out there.
Okay. Good to know.
I mean, it'd be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But the best part, again, for me, is the Costco City, where they're standing on this hill overlooking this valley, and it's just filled with Costco. And they get
That's
in.
Your dream come true.
They get in, and they're going to go to the electronics department, and it's like, it's about 3 miles down that way. It'll take you about 20 minutes walking.
Yeah, good luck.
That's great stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a new Idiocracy intro, is that correct?
I do, yes. Oh, well, we have Tim Slucker, but we might as well show it out. Yeah. What do you think?
We're not going to preempt him. Do you want to play this thing for us? We're not going to get to it today because we have Tim.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, let's play it. Let's hear what you put together here. All right.
Okay.
I'm a little nervous.
Oh, God, I'm nervous too.
Well, push the button. See what happens. Where is it?
Was at a turning point, a dumbing down.
God, I'm so stupid.
As the 21st century
Foolish,
began.
Foolish, gullible, doltish, dumbbell, lazy.
I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. You are fake news.
That's the best stupid thing I've ever heard this week, man.
Wow. Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Wow.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's all under
That's
idiocracy.
Good. Yeah, we got the orange one in there.
Okay.
Fantastic.
29 past the hour, we have the Midwest Food and Farm Report straight ahead. Then we're back with Tim Slecker next on WMDX. Stay right where you are. Dancing.
God. As we all head into the Trump ballroom,
great
John
job.
And Gordy in the morning, Dom at the controls, WMDX 92.7.
Yeah, price went up on that ballroom in the last 24 hours. It's going to be $300 million now. Wants it a little bit bigger. Wasn't quite big enough.
Well, now they have to fill the gap, you know, where the East Wing was at one time. Now there's no East Wing.
Well, they say it's all going to be torn down over the weekend completely.
Yeah.
So we'll keep watching that.
Gorgeous.
Weather today, it's a frosty start this morning, 37 degrees. We'll hit a high near 50 today. Time for us to welcome in Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Ooh. Education, educated educators doing stuff about education. Something like, what's the slogan? I can never get it.
I love the slogan.
Okay.
Educated educators talking education.
Okay.
That's great.
It's so simple. And I
it
can't
is.
Remember
it's,
it.
It's simple.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Tim.
You know, good morning. Just before we get in, I mean, I was at Men's Warehouse last night, you know, getting ready for my invitation to the opening of that new ballroom.
Getting a new tux, are you?
I want to get a new tux. Then, you just made me think, though. I mean, I wonder if this weekend, you know, we're going to get some videos of, you know, like the slow, or not slow, but the planned collapsing of the East Wing, you know, with, you know, certain explosives. You know how they bring down skyscrapers?
Yes.
You know?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because this could be an event.
It should sell tickets. Yeah.
You know, it could crumble, fall in on itself. And as it collapses, a big American flag rises out of the dust.
Oh, God.
I mean,
this could have been a production. It really could have. Yeah.
I can't believe our commander didn't think of this.
That's right. Watching history collapse around the White House. I mean, I would pay to see that. But, of course, you know, we had sneaky cameras capturing some of the destruction.
Well, we don't know. I mean, as they go along, they may, they may just take down the whole East Wing, but then they're so close to the rest of the house at that point, it may start crumbling on its own.
Exactly.
And, we're going to have to take down the whole thing.
There's got to be load-bearing walls there, too, right?
Load-bearing walls are important.
God. You know, it made me think. I think the problem, and maybe they're pushing at this, is that, you know, at what point are we going to recognize that people in that position, they shouldn't be in a house? I mean, I think the whole naming is maybe potentially what we ought to be thinking about. I mean,
renaming.
House?
Yeah.
You know, come on. I live in a house.
Right.
You know, there's got to be,
some kind of new name, like a, you know, it has to have white in it because we are going to turn this into a very white nation. So it has to have white, but yeah, it has to, you know, like the White Castle.
I think that's already taken. That's gonna have burger drive-through.
Let him sue Trump. Yeah, and see who wins that lawsuit. He'll go to the Supreme Court and get White Castle all to himself.
Bet he wants to build another tower, another Trump tower right there.
Thinking about it, it's an event, and I'm just wondering, John, you were talking before I got on the show a little bit, about the amount of money that maybe or is going to be available to teach civics and history from the Trump administration. I'm wondering how this whole, maybe it's not a demolition, but a renovation probably would be the language we would use in this new history. Mm-hmm. It's not a demolition of the East Wing. It's a renovation.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you say demolition, that sounds bad.
It does.
Like it's some nasty and mean when really this is a renovation.
It's a renovation.
And I'm just thinking that could be what's going to be potentially in how, if you want to agree to take this money, I'm going to bet that you have to understand the terminologies that are now going to be used.
Yeah.
We got a text here from Mark in Prairie du Sac who says, I'm surprised he's not hawking chunks of the destroyed East Wing.
I thought of that yesterday when we were talking about this.
They ought to do that. Yep. Yes. That's historic chunks of the East Wing.
That's
sale.
Right.
Yeah, make some more money on
it. Now, we were also talking off the air before we went on what we were going to talk about, and one of the big things was the education department's pouring $150 million into civic training, which I think, I wish they had done this before, Wish they had civics training before this. But they finally thought of doing something like civics training. You really got to wonder what is in this particular edition of civics training. It's got to be different from what we were required to learn prior to graduating here from high school in Wisconsin.
Right.
It's obvious that what was civics for the three of us, it didn't work out so well. I guess you can pretty much well see that our civic knowledge and deep revere and respect, it just didn't sit with us. So I mean, maybe it's time to pump $150 million into civic training, not civic education, not civic participation, civic training.
Right.
It's another one of those words. because maybe that was the problem is that we were given civics education. Yeah. And when you educate people.
But we weren't trained on it.
When you educate people, they can, God forbid, they go places.
Right, exactly.
They push boundaries.
Yeah. Well, I know that they want to, again, explain what the Declaration of Independence means. It's always a target by the right wing. For some reason, they just love the Declaration of Independence. Forget about the Constitution. They've already trashed that baby. So they're looking at the Declaration of Independence now and reinterpreting that in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, it's ambiguous in the title, a Declaration of Independence. It's hard to understand what those words mean, to declare independence. You know, so I can get it, you know, because that could be open to all kinds of ways that might, like, inspire people to think that, you know, fighting for freedom is might be implied in a Declaration of Independence. And, you know, come on, is it, are we really going to instill people with a revolutionary spirit around, you know, pushing against an oppressive top-down authoritarian regime,
right,
and declare freedom from that regime? I mean, you don't want to be teaching that, do you guys?
I wouldn't be caught dead teaching something like that.
So,
but, you know, we've got, you know, like a right-wing group in charge of supervising this particular civic lesson that is coming up by the Department of Education, wherever that is located. Now, I'm not quite sure if we know where that is. I think it's in a number of different spots.
I wonder when the wrecking ball is going to head that way again.
Yeah,
no kidding.
You know, I mean, if they're at it this weekend, they might as well just keep going.
They've got the construction crews there. Why not?
Well, we're talking about the group is the conservative-leaning Fordham Institute.
Okay.
And they were talking to an individual who is one of the fellows there. And they, you know, they always want to put a positive spin on our slavery, slave history that we have. And his line is not passionate, demonizing disagreement, but civil disagreement, and then civic friendship. See, we got to create friendship out of all of this stuff. And by the way, he also says citizens and aspiring citizens should love their country. Should. Now, that's part of the sentence. And he says, it's a lovable country. And be grateful for it, but in the American way, you know. So, wow, there's declarations there all over the place.
Wow, I look. Okay,
I know.
Take a deep breath.
Okay, packaging.
There you go. That's it.
You know, and what a great civics lesson this. Civics push and legislation and money presents us for right now to look at this whole idea of going, you know, what is really being sold here, because the packaging is beautiful. It's love of country. It's reinstilling the civic values, creating the bonds that unite a democracy that move, right? And you're like, well, and so, you know, my neighbor who's catching the news through headlines is hearing that $150 million towards civic education, history, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's, you know, right?
Right.
And, yeah, it sounds good.
And it's and that's the lesson right there, is to say, okay, let's peel back the packaging and the labeling, and let's see what's inside. And I push or potentially put out the idea that that's actually what this move is a push to absolutely actually do away with education that instills in kids and society in general a desire to dig deep, to understand, to participate fully in the things that are presented to us. You know, that's a civics education. But there's really, when you start looking at what it is that is, you know, going to be mandated in this curriculum and or what you are going to sign off on to get this money, that's where you want to start looking closely, because it may not be the best representation of civics education as much as it might be a form of citizenship mandated way of coming to, you know. So what is being mandated if you take this money?
Right.
And that's where I would push and say, you know, and that's the civics lesson here, that I bet that if you look deeply at what you have to do to get this money, that asking that kind of question will not be part of the curriculum. And in fact, signing off on that might actually put you at risk for saying that if you do this, we're going to take the money away from you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Strings attached.
Yeah. It is 6:48. We're talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yes, indeed. John and Gordy in the morning, WMDX 92.7. It is killing us all at this point, but you never know what's going to happen the next day. So it's always interesting, always always fascinating to talk about, and you can talk about it here on the station by going to our app and texting us or voice noting us or giving us a call as well. We always want to hear from you.
Yep. Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. We're back with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, talking about education. And we wanted to touch on a little bit about special education here.
Special needs programming.
And
it's in your last podcast about the funding being cut.
Right.
You know, it's almost crazy to understand that somebody would allow something like this to lapse. You know, you don't have the money. How did that happen? How did you not have the money for something like this? That's what you have to ask.
Yeah, well, and it's not really that there's not the money. It's the politics, the, you know, the will in hiding the, you know, in saying this. But, you know, what we're talking about here is a federal law that was enacted through citizen advocacy, that made it through the legislature, that was approved by the Senate and signed into law by a president. In other words, a great example of civics education in how that works. And now the law, IDEA, the Individual with Disabilities Education Act, is simply states that every child with a documented disability, we, the nation, will mandate that they be given an education that is directly suited for their individual needs, and that that is the law. And guess what? To enact that requires resources. And what we've been pointing out now is that with the resources not flowing out of the Department of Education, the reality of that law is that you can't do it. And we're hearing from more special needs teachers, special education families, of the real impact that that's having.
Well, I can tell you by having two grandkids that are both in special ed education, not too far from here, that, the funding isn't there to provide this kind of special care. I have a grandson, 14 years old, profoundly deaf, has cochlear implants, but he's rejected those. So the only way he can communicate is through sign language. And it came to light recently because of these IEP meetings that they have. And I was finding out more about this. They at one point before the pandemic, they did have some special ed teachers that were specifically helping him trying to learn sign language. And they would be there maybe three times a week for several hours a day. After the pandemic, they couldn't find anybody. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting, in the last few years, a half an hour a month of deaf training. A half an hour a month, not a week, a month. And, I mean, it's ridiculous. They can't find it, you know, and the excuses from the board or from the teachers or the administration, well, we can't find anybody. Or if we find somebody, we can't afford to pay them to travel here because they live out in near Baraboo. It was one excuse after another. And there's no, I mean, what can you do in a situation like that? You're just, it's frustrating.
Well, think about that too, Gordy, the frustration that you now, you know, as a grandparent, as a family, the way it now tugs at you to just really say, like, who's responsible here? Because we're not talking about, you know, enrichment classes for your grandson.
This is just for basic education and communication. He has, and he's also autistic, I should point out. He's on the spectrum of autism. So it's extra. He has two disabilities, really. And so he really needs more, but the funding just isn't there, or they can't find the people.
And without the funding, think about what happens here, too. And I'm not going to downplay the fact that the need for special education teachers and professionals that have those skill sets is huge. But why is it huge? The resources aren't there to actually incentivize people to take on those roles, to make those roles sustainable, to make school districts have the ability to go out and get these people. And without that, then here's what I also see happening is that the anger ends up becoming more and more directed at the school and the teachers.
Yes.
And sometimes legitimately, but mostly to the point of going, it gets us away from saying, how did it get this way? Mm-hmm. Why is it this? And it's a resource issue. It's a resource issue. And where is that? And again, that's federal, and in Wisconsin too. You know, it's at the state level too, the funding. We were talking about it in a show that's coming up, you know, that right now I think the state of Wisconsin, I don't know, is, you know, going to potentially give school districts 25% of the money back for the cost of educating a special needs kid. Well, wait. So 75% of the resources needed to educate this kid is going to be thrown onto a school district that already doesn't have the money.
Right.
And then the school district to potentially make up for that is going to somehow try to go to some form of a referendum, which will turn into a tax discussion,
right,
of which then everybody will go, I don't want my taxes to go up.
And, exactly.
Oh, what a mess.
It is a mess.
What a civics education.
Right?
It always comes back to that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could go on and on. But
throwing it on the property tax rates is always the worst idea possible, but Republicans, that holds to their promise of never ever increasing taxes.
Tim, we got to leave it there. Thank you for joining us. That's Dr. Tim Slecker. You can listen to Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great podcasts every week. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, guys.
All right. News, weather, sports updates right ahead. Then the big story on John and Gordy coming up on WMBX.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.